Loving him. I just got home. Turn me down, Brother Greg, please. I don't know. I was listening. I heard that. Please. She tell you that too, Brother Billy.
Among many, many
other things. I like I said, I just got home, and we've been in the Carolinas, and Brother Billy made mention of that shape note singing. Anybody here outside of me, have you ever been to a Church of Christ funeral? Have you, Brother Billy?
Yeah, just two weeks ago.
Have you? I don't.
It had that music.
Not the United.
Yeah, I'm
not talking about that.
I'm talking about the other one.
Well, I have never in my life had nothing experienced like this. I had this funeral, and I wasn't a part. I just went out of respect. The building was filled with people, and all of a sudden, there's no music in Church of Christ. There's no music. This individual just stood up. Nobody said when or what or how to start the service, and he just said, "Do re mi fa sol lo," and got that. I never heard such singing in my life. I'm telling you, my shirt went up down my back like windshade. I have never sensed the Spirit of God in my life in singing like that. It was beautiful. I love a good piano, and I love a guitar. I love a banjo. I love all of that. But sometimes I think it takes away from the words.
Sometimes it does.
It says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Right.
Well, good singing is wonderful.
Amen.
I love you. And I'm sorry, these church guys, they're going to find out differently. There is music in heaven. I don't know what you do with a harp. If you tear that box off of that, tear that wood off, that ain't nothing but a harp. Are y'all going to go to sleep on me tonight? Or get in your lap? I'm sorry my wife is not here. Sometimes things just happen. She's all right. I preach way down. Anybody here know where Duval Valley is at? Duval Valley? They heard me on the radio years and said, would I come and schedule me in and preach for them? Well, I can't tell you how to get there from here. I can't. There's no way I can tell you. But anyway, my wife, bless her heart, Ronnie asked him, said, "Miss Mary, how about you singing your song?" Now, most of you know my wife has been on the bottom rung of the battle rung. She's been on the rung of the bottom rung of the valley for a long time. But I'm saying she's gotten out of this thing, and she even went and sang tonight, this afternoon. Isn't that a blessing on that song that she wrote? They wanted her to sing it. My mouth fell open. I love it. But tonight, my grandson had this important thing he had to go to, and my wife said, "Well, I'll suffer through it and take care of my great-grandson." You know how that goes. No, you don't know how that goes yet, do you? Chris? Boy, I love him. I'm talking about great-greats. I love that little boy. I could eat his ears off. That's Dylan's little boy. My wife said, "I'll suffer through it." I said, "Mary, won't you go down to Brother Billy's?" Listen, open your Bible.
Preach for him while you're down there.
Huh?
Preach for him while you're down.
Yeah. Hey, she'd be a lot better preacher than I am. Open your Bible, please. Book of Ephesians. I love you folks. Never do I come down 27 going north. I don't care if it's 2:00 in the morning, that I don't always look over here. I always look over here. And I think, bless their hearts. Ephesians, please, if you don't mind your Bible, chapter 2. I had a tragic thing to happen to me. I went down to Hilltop Baptist Church. The only reason I know this is that they told me. I've been going there for 39 years of my life. And I love people. And I don't just turn it off and on like a water faucet. And I don't know how you do that. I love Brother Junior and I love Miss Sewell. I love them. We've been friends for years and years. I remember when they had their firstborn child. Well, sometimes a revival is not just for ushering in a lot of people to get saved. Sometimes a revival is God's just stirring up God's people. We had a revival, I'm telling you, the first week of January that was unbelievable. Is that right? First week of January, second week of January. Well, anyway, I mean, it's just unbelievable. If the building was filled every night and they got a big old auditorium and people were just in a good spirit. And Miss Linda, the preacher's wife, was happy and jubilant and happy. And just can't believe it. Every night we went out to eat. We ate breakfast together. I got closed out on Sunday night. Sunday night. Left out Monday morning. Come home. On Wednesday, they called me back and told me Miss Linda had fell and hit the back of her head on the, patio. Well, she never regained consciousness. Now, I had to go back and take her to a funeral. She was 72 years old. But I mean, the revival, I believe, was for them, for the funeral. Does that make sense to y'all? I really believe that. But you ain't never been in a funeral like that in your life. There was over 2,000 people went through the receiving line on Saturday night. Brother Junior said, let's just have church. So they laid her out in the church. She'd been there almost 50 years of their life. Laid her out in front Sunday night when we had Saturday night when we had the receiving line. Sunday, we met at 11 o'clock. That building was wall-to-wall people. In the choir, I asked, and they got a tremendous choir. I asked Brother Gary, I said, sing that song, he'll hold to your hand. Oh! Y'all have been at a funeral when they shouted?
Yeah.
Why, is my tire crooked? We never had I'm telling you the truth. Miss Shirley, I looked over at her, have you ever heard this song? Where's that lady at? Have you ever heard the song, I Know Him and He Knows Me? Look at that, she's nodding her head. How many of y'all ever heard the words of that song? I live a sheltered life. Do you know the words of it? I know him and he knows me. Well, I don't reckon I live that sheltered life. She got to singing that song, Brother Billy, and it tore me all to pieces. Think about it. He knows me and I know him.
Right.
I come unglued. Well, anyway, the funeral director, he said, I think I've been to church this morning. The owners of the funeral home said, you couldn't get nobody, there's 424 people in that auditorium, and they'd set chairs out. But what I'm saying is, sometimes, I don't know where we get this at, biblically, did you know we're supposed to mourn at their birth and rejoice at their death?
Yes.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7,
right.
What the book says. But sometimes we get all things messed up. Well, I don't know how many funerals I've been in since September. I think 11. How'd you like to go to heaven on this? What I'm fixed to tell you. How'd you like to go to heaven on this? My son-in-law's dad, he has COPD, and he has emphysema real bad, or had it. And he's 82 years old. Mary looks over at him. They get up and says, Sonny, how would you like to have some biscuits and gravy? Oh, he said, that sounds good. She goes in the kitchen and she's fixing biscuits and gravy, and she hears a noise in the bedroom, and he's dead when he hit the floor. I thought, dear God, what a way to leave this world. Y'all don't think nothing. You're going to die one of these days, but what a way to leave this world. How about biscuits and gravy? Ain't that a sight? We took care of his funeral. Billy, you need to let me tell you this. I'll preach in a moment. I have never in my life, Sonny was a real ultra, ultra conservative. He was a Trump fan. Let me tell you what he done. My son-in-law bought him a banner about this tall and about 6 foot, maybe longer than that, and it says Trump for 2020. I went in that funeral home and it was packed wall-to-wall people. And they had that banner, like here was the coffin, and they had the banner down here. Trump for 2020.
Yeah, I got a picture of it.
But guess what I done? I met this man, Brother Billy. You know me. I met this gentleman. He drove all the way down from Dayton, Ohio. His boy brought him. He was 95 years old, and he was a World War II veteran, and he fought in the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
I hugged his neck. 95 years old. There's probably only a handful of them alive. And I got to meet that man.
Amen.
Well, he was a real patriot, Brother Sonny was. So I had everybody to stand, and there's a whole lot of veterans. We had a Pledge of Allegiance before at a funeral. What's wrong with that? Well, they had some people from San Antonio, Texas. They sang Brother Billy and brought the house down. Ain't that a sight? Man, I preach like a wild man at a funeral. What do you think? Boy, it's homegoing. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
Homegoing. Graduation service.
Right.
Glory. All right. Ephesians, please, chapter 2. Now, I want you to find your place in your Bible. And I'm going to start reading in chapter 2, verse 1. I love the book of Ephesians.
Yes.
This morning, I was down in that Duval Valley Baptist Church, and I didn't know where. All I knew is in Kentucky. I can't even tell you how to get there. Yes, I can, but I'm talking about to tell you how to get there. You'd have to have a GPS. Okay. But they wanted me to go preach at the homecoming. But anyway, I preached that morning, then I had to go preach at this convalescent home. Well, I met this man I knowed him from years gone by. He pastored his church for years, and there he sat in that wheelchair. He probably doesn't weigh, just a little over 100 pounds. And I looked at him and I thought, dear Lord Jesus. And then his wife died, and then his boy died with an overdose. And then I went over to visit this lady, there's four of these ladies sitting at a table. And I looked at him and I thought, I wish I could heal people. Boy, aren't you glad, thank God, one day where we're going, there ain't going to be nobody like that. That one woman looked at me and she said, Brother Sisson, she said, I don't know how long it's been since anybody's been to see me. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. And that's the real stuff. That's what pure religion is, James 1, verse 27. We're to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But I get so vexed at this stuff. Hey, listen, if I had the power of God, there'd never be another sick person. I'd go to every hospital and clean it out. Woo! Okay, Ephesians, please, chapter 2, look at verse 1. Ready? And you, Paul said, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now the word there, quickened, means made alive. Now look in verse 2. Wherein the time past, Paul said, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now, N-O-W, worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, Paul said. And then watch this, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, I love this. But God, hallelujah, but is a conjunction. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath, H-A-T-H, past tense, hath quickened us, there's that word again, together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, boy, I love, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Father, I love you. I pray, God, speak to our hearts tonight. May the Spirit of God be able to work in our hearts and lives. And then, Lord, I pray for these. I pray, dear Lord, for Miss Miller. I pray for Charles Roy. I pray for these that's got cancer. God, there's so many people that, Lord, we forgive us, Lord, where we've not called their names out. But, Lord, I would to God, it'd be a little thing for you to just go touch them. Thank you for the blessed hope now. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to go back and let me read verses 5. Even when we were dead in sins, the "in" is a preposition, dead in sins. Now watch this, hath quickened us together with Christ, for he says, by grace you're saved. All right, if you look in verse 6, he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anybody that knows me, I love the church. I mean, top of my head, sole of my foot. But if you read your Bible, Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right, so Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Everything else he borrowed, but he purchased the church with his own blood.
Amen.
Acts 20, verse 28. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all remember he borrowed a boat to ride in?
Right.
How many of y'all remember he took it, said, told him to go down and pay the tax money, took a coin out of a fish's mouth?
Amen.
If you read your Bible, he always borrowed it, but we find in Acts 20, he purchased the church with his own blood. So the devil is a master at counterfeiting the church. He's a master at it.
Right.
And years gone by, the true church was way out here in the lead.
Yeah.
Now then, the counterfeit church is out there, and the true church is back here.
Right.
Well, I don't think God ever intended for the church to become what it has.
Right.
All we are is just a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Well, let me show you. I go into churches, and they're beat down. They come in, they sit down, they get up. There's more to Christianity than coming in, sitting down, getting up, and going home. Let me prove it to you. Go back, look in your Bible. I want you to read this with me. He's quickened us. We find it twice in verse 1 and then down, if you get in your Bible, look if you would, in verse 5. How many of you have got regret? I went over and had a funeral, by the way. I want you to listen to this. I had a, over in Crab Orchard. I was born and raised there. We got up on that cemetery, and I'm telling you, it was like it was today, probably in the middle 50s, or maybe not quite middle 50s. All of a sudden, it got cold on that hilltop at that funeral. But I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. I was so cold. And everybody wanted to talk to me, and they were talking about Crow, and that was the man. His nickname was Crow. Bob, my brother, his nickname. Everybody in Crab Orchard had a nickname.
Yep.
Well, mine was Skeeter. That's, y'all can laugh if you want to. That's okay. Everybody knew, they don't even know my name, but they know my nickname. They got to talking about my past, talking about all the things we was involved in. I said, I got saved when I was 19 years old. Don't 60 some years of my life amount to anything?
Yep.
Why does everybody always remember your past?
Right.
But they do.
Yep.
Let me show you what I mean. Boy, I got a hold of this, and God burned it in my heart. I got to thinking about how we all regret some to some degree, and I hung my head in shame because some of them remembered what I used to do.
Right.
Well, I'm glad the Bible says, therefore, if any man be where in Christ, he's a new creature. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become as new.
Right.
Now, let me show you this. I got to thinking, have you ever understood the character of Satan? Did you know your mind is not saved? It's got to be renewed.
Right.
So the moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost took up his abide. He abides. He lives within you.
Right.
But the moment you got saved, God erased your past.
Right.
That ought to.
Yes, amen.
All right, if he lives there, he lives inside of you. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if so be that Christ dwell in you. So we were purchased off of a slave block.
Right.
Now he lives within us. Amen, preacher, yes. Sisson. How many of you, Chris, did your mama ever say, how many of y'all? I don't see your hand. That means, There's no dictionary word for it.
No.
But the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you, he's always saying, And the closer you live to God, the more you are aware of that voice.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody's got that lives within him. Now let's go back, but you got to understand the character, number one, of Satan. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. All
right,
the devil can't do a thing to us unless God permits it, amen. Now, watch this. Understanding the character of Satan. Number two, you got to understand the character of a man. What do you mean by that, brother and sister? How many of y'all remember after Adam and Eve sinned against God, what did they do? Tell me right quick. They did what? They hid themselves, right? All right, the character of a man, you got to understand our character is this. Me and my wife talking about this. When God made Adam, he made him out of the dust to the ground, and then God breathed into his nostrils, and then man became a living soul. All right, why did he take the rib from Adam? All right, he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam.
Yep.
All right, then he took the ribs from Adam, and he made a woman. Well, could he not just as easily made another individual out of the dust? He'd already made Adam.
Yep.
So he made the woman completes the man completes the woman. All right, but the woman, y'all need to understand this. Man, we've got a nature that's contrary to God.
Right.
Do this.
Amen.
We got a nature.
Yes.
Now, Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, it brought fear and dread. And they said, they hid themselves from God. He always came down in the cool of the evening.
Right.
But most people don't understand the character of Satan, and they sure don't understand the character of a man. Amen. They don't understand his nature. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, we get a new nature. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's go back. Let me show you this. Fear and dread and to hide and feel guilty about it. And then watch this. Look for kind of some way of escape. I remember the first time, and I lived in a pool room. See, y'all got a good home. You guys, you young people, you ought to thank God you got parents that care enough about you that you've got a roof over your head and a bed to sleep in.
Yeah.
I lived on the streets when I was 9 and 10 years old. I started drinking rotten gut moonshine when I was probably 10 or 11. When I went this past week when I was going down Interstate 40, there's a time in my life that I literally hitchhiked, and they don't do that anymore, hitchhiked, and that's before they have interstates. I hitchhiked all the way to Georgia. I had to been 10, 11, 12 years old, that age. Can you imagine a boy in this day and time hitchhiking on the Highway 25 or Highway 27, or how about 30, 25 West? I can remember hitchhiking down Black Mountain, North Carolina, and the guy let me out over on the other side in Asheville, and I had to walk. I had to walk down Old Fort, North Carolina, where my aunt lived. No interstate. I can remember it just as a kid, terrified of walking down that thing. Can you believe that? Y'all don't. Okay. That's what when I started drinking. Nobody. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to do that. When people drank beer or they drank liquor or they, I can remember when we were shooting poo, he put me, a man by the name of John Roar, he put about that much liquor in the bottom of a Coke bottle and about that much Coke. Well, it got to be, after I drank it a few times and your head go around, then it had to be more whiskey and less Coke. Drank one beer and then it's two beers and three beers and four beers to get the same elation, the same feeling. So that's the same way. Do you know what they're doing now, Brother Billy? It blows my... But guys, look up here at me. This is dumb as a box of rock to take wasp spray and mix it with fentanyl. They call it wasping. Ain't that awful? But y'all ain't getting it. Who in the world ever... How did they ever figure that out to mix wasp spray and fentanyl together? It's deadly.
Yes.
I mean, it's a deadly drug or concoction. I mean, fentanyl and wasp spray. But watch this. When I never took drugs. God knows I've never smoked a joint. But I did drink. I did that. But it's the elation. It likes the carefreeness out of it. Me and Brother Sewell was talking about it. Most addicted drug addicts, they like that. They say that it's literally like their body. It's like they're coming up out of their body. But it only lasts for a minute, and they just pop right back down. Then they got to have something else to get them up there again. It's called a high.
Yes.
Well, what I want you to see, the moment I got saved, God erased my past.
Yes.
Now hang on, now watch this. You ready? I've done things that I'm so ashamed of, I don't want nobody to know. All right, now I want you to look back at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You got to understand the character of Satan. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You got to understand the character of a man, but in this list, you got to understand the character of God. Jesus came into this world to die, I mean, for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Hallelujah. Bless his name.
Amen.
Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, dying and paying our sin debt. He was the sinless Lamb of God. You want me to say that again? The sinless Lamb of God. He says, no man taketh my life. I lay it down. I've got power to take it up again. All right, but here's what irritates me and aggravates me. They're now concocting this thing that's saying Jesus was a product of Mary Magdalene. There was no illicit affair. Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. If y'all don't say amen, I'm going to stay right there forever.
Amen.
That's the reason why he could appease a holy God and pay for your sin debt, because he was perfect. Amen.
Right.
He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now watch this. Let's go back. I understand that sometimes in our life, sometimes our past comes up in our minds, and sometimes it'll bring it up in your mind. Let's go back. Let me show you this. Number one, you write this down. How do you get past your past? How do you do that? You can come in here, sit down, get up, go home. You can hear messages. You can hear it, but until you apply it to your life, it's not going to help you.
Right.
Let me show you this. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever just contemplated this? If you go back, I got to thinking about how you have to agree with God about your past. Hebrews 10, verse 17. Their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. So God forgives it and God forgets it.
Right. Right. Amen.
How about Psalms 103, verse 12?
Right.
He takes our sins and removes them as far as east is to west. Well, if you read your Bible, he takes our sins and puts them in the depths of the sea. Revelation says one day, and 2/3 of this earth is covered with water. And the Bible says, and look here, there's depths of the ocean that people have never even been to yet. But the Bible says there's going to be no more sea.
Amen.
Well, he takes our sins and casts them in the depths of the sea.
Right.
Whoopee.
Right.
Have y'all ever thought you have to agree with God, my past is gone.
Right.
There's hope sitting there. Lord forbid there's going to be another little Jesse in this world. Little miniature Jesse. Wait, he's raising his eyebrows. But can you imagine, all right, the Bible says the Lord knew that substance of that baby before it was ever formed in her belly.
Right.
All right, does a baby have a past?
Yeah.
Think how you answer me.
Not that past.
No.
It don't have a past.
All right, hang on, Chris. Does a baby have a past? Sure. Sure.
Before.
But I'm talking about it has no past as far as sin is. All right, now watch this. So when a baby's born, it only has a beginning.
Right.
So the moment you got saved at 19 or 20 or 30 or 90 or ever how old you was, God took your sins and erased them.
Amen,
amen, preacher says.
Right.
So now then the devil, he'll work on your past and say, look what you done back there. Look what you done back there. Look what you done back there. All right, if you have, number one, you have to agree God's right and you're wrong.
Right.
That the Bible says, their sins and iniquity will I remember no more.
Right.
The moment you get saved, in that's where we're going to probably depart company. Real true conversion, real true biblical conversion, what we call biblical conversion is not biblical conversion in this day and time.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if it was, they'd be different lives.
Right. Amen.
Amen, preacher. God changes you from inside to outside.
Right.
But you have to agree, God, you're right and I'm wrong.
Right.
All right, question. All right, if Christ died for our sins, would y'all say amen?
Amen.
If he died for our sin and you receive Christ as your Savior, is your sins gone?
Yes.
All right, where is Christ right now, Brother Billy?
At the right hand of the Father.
Right hand of the Father, correct?
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
He's at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
All right, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins, and his blood cleanseth us from all
righteousness.
Okay, now listen to this. So if Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, God does not see Billy Miller.
Right.
He sees the blood of his son.
Right.
And he's engraved in the palm of his hand. So when Billy confesses his sin, now listen to me, don't die on me. The moment Brother Billy got saved, God forgave him of everything he ever done. Now then, to say, if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar and his word's not in you.
Right.
So we're living in this world that contaminates us. Amen, sister. We think wrong. We do wrong. Amen, preacher. But now that you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, nat.
Yep.
All right, the moment that God brings him under conviction, he says, Lord, forgive me of that. I repent of that. God,
right.
He immediately forgives him.
Right.
You ever thought about how that it's the blood of Christ that keeps the wrath of God off of you?
Amen. Right.
Have you ever thought about it?
Initiation.
God don't see Brother Billy. He don't see me. He sees the blood of his son.
Amen.
Woo, I love it. Thank God.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I act awful, Brother Junior. When I think about this, hey, what did I do? I didn't mean to hurt you. Oh, Lord, bless his poor little old heart. Dude, y'all get what I just said? If you realize, hey, I know him and he knows me. I have an advocate with the Father. Amen. The devil accuses me, Revelation 12. But thank God, hey, I'm saved going to heaven. God has a purpose for my life. Amen. Let me say that again. God has a purpose for my life.
Right.
All right, knowing this, now watch this. If you say you have no sin, you make him a liar and his word's not in you. But if we confess our sin, now watch this, watch. So you have to agree God's right and you're wrong. Say amen. Number two, you have to accept God's forgiveness. I meet people all the time. And here's what they do. They won't forgive themselves.
Amen. You're right.
They won't forgive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they let the devil haunt them with it and pressurize them. I personally believe this. The older people in years gone by, they lived a far simpler life than we live. And they were permeated with the Word of God. Amen, sister. They loved the book. They loved the Word of God. Got it by an old kerosene lamp. The Bible, the Word of God. Now, everybody here, we're so hurry up, worried, and buried, and hurry, worry, and buried. That's our whole culture, right? But they lived a far simpler life. Amen, preacher. They walked everywhere they went to church on Sunday. How many of y'all remember this? He's got his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. How many of y'all remember that saying?
Right.
They used to say he's got his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on.
Right.
Well, that meant they went to the house of God on Sunday. Sunday was the Lord's day.
Right.
Well, they lived a far simpler life, but they lived a better life than we do, except it produced holiness in their life.
Right.
I got in this big thing about the culture. Oh, y'all don't want to know what I think. Everybody's talking about the opioid culture, opioid culture. You don't know how what I appreciate, Brother Biddy, what he said. We're so busy, occupied with things. Did you know Jesus always cared about others?
Yes.
O-T-H-E-R-S.
Right.
So y'all invest in these young people's lives. Hallelujah, thank God. They're worth investing in.
Right. Yes.
Others, O-T-H-E-R-S.
That's right.
But have you ever thought what is going to become of them? Have you ever just contemplated what's going to happen to my little old grandson that had a birthday yesterday?
Right.
I can't believe some of this stuff that's going on.
That was scary.
Did you know, Brother Billy, I heard this and I got so aggravated. Where's that paper at? I called this number right here, 1-800, y'all ought to call it.
Yeah.
I rung that thing till they answered the phone. Did you know they're now going to teach sex education in kindergarten if they can get the thing through?
Right.
They're going to start when they're in kindergarten teaching sex education.
Stupid.
Their little brains ain't developed.
Yep.
They wouldn't teach my children that.
Right.
I'd take them out of it first. Say amen.
Right.
I'd tell them my state don't own my kids.
Right.
I'm sort of a rebel anyway.
Amen.
Let's go back. You have to accept God's forgiveness. Number two, you have to agree with God that God's your right and I'm wrong. Amen. I've got changed a lot of things in my thinking and my attitude toward God. But I'm saying if you're going to get rid of your past, you're going to live with your past, one, you have to agree, God, you're right about my past. And then listen to this, I pass from death unto life. My name is wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be despondent. I am, you know, I get so aggravated over this thing. Everybody, if you're saved, you're in the who's who.
Yes.
Well, let me say that again. I don't think you got it. You're in the Fortune 500.
That's right.
We're heirs and joint heirs.
That's right.
I don't have to be depressed or despondent.
Right.
I don't mean this in an ugly manner. I don't have to be a second rate to nobody.
That's right.
That humbles me to say that.
Yes.
But I used to. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth, no self-confidence. I stayed depressed all the time. But I'm saying, when I got saved and I started building truths into my life and I agree with God that my past is gone, when I got saved, I didn't understand that.
Right.
I didn't understand my sin was gone.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that I have got responsibilities now. I've been bought off of a slave block and Christ owns me.
Yes.
Whoopee.
Amen.
My time must be crooked. Let's go back. Won't you write it on Fly Leaf Your Bible? Number one, you have to agree that I've got a home in heaven. My past is gone. My name is wrote down. Amen, preacher. My sin is gone. Number two, you have to accept God's forgiveness. And abstain, number three, from all defrauding yourself. Brother, sister, what do you mean by that? Well, what is the chief thing that the devil does? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if your mind has to be renewed, so what does the devil do? Wants to keep your mind off of the Lord.
Right.
All right, read Isaiah 26:3 for me. I want somebody to read it real loud to me right quick. Good, Brother Biddy. Quote it for me real loud. Quote it. Listen to this. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Now listen to what your preacher said.
Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he
trusteth in the Lord. See, it just went and done this. Right over. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in the Lord. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, the Bible says your mind is to be renewed.
Right.
So what is the chief culprit today? It's called a television. We've all got one in our living room. And it's called social media.
Amen.
It's killing us. Yeah, computers and kids today. I could not believe it, Miss Chris. My little old Keaton, Kim's great-grandson, Mary Beth's little old boy, they came to the house yesterday, and that little old boy, I mean, he just had his third birthday. He can turn a phone on as good as I can. And I can't very good at it. But I could not believe that. He just, don't you come in, phone. Let me turn that thing off. But he can do that so quick, make your head swing. They're going to come up with this technology. You need to get this, Hoss. Can you believe in the last 50 years, what we got now has just been in the last 50 years. How many of y'all remember the phones that used to, the rotary phones? Do you really? You remember the rotary phones? How many of y'all remember used to they had pay phones? Nickels, I'll get your hand up, you do too.
Party lines.
Can you believe when I moved to Nancy, when I built my house in Nancy, right there next to the camp, can y'all believe I was on a four-party line, and that was in 81? Sometimes I tell them, get off the phone, I'd like to use my phone. Can you believe that? In Nancy, Kentucky, in 81, was a four-party line. All of this technology, y'all remember Dick Tracy?
Yeah.
That car, you do remember that too? Now then, they've literally got wristwatches that you can talk to people.
Right.
She got one on. But we thought that was wild, didn't we, Brother Billy?
Yeah.
Back when Dick Tracy,
right.
And who'd ever thought they could call around the world and just like that? You can call France or any place in the whole world just
right.
If you got the number. Who'd ever believe that? Well, look, what I'm trying to get you to see is the technology. The devil is the prince and power of the air. All right, the Bible says, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm not trying to refute or be ugly to y'all. People don't know enough about the Bible, amen, Brother Sisson,
amen.
To renew their minds.
Right.
I don't understand this. I hope them little old girls, how old are they? Two, three, I don't, huh?
Four, three.
Okay, when a baby's born into this world, does it not have a hunger? I want to see how many of y'all know
yes.
What I... Does it not have a thirst?
Yes.
Then to explain this to me, how come we as saved people don't have a thirst or a hunger?
Right.
Explain that to me. Oh, we got a thirst and a hunger, but for everything other than the Word of God. We know that the Bible is supernatural. We say we do, but we don't apply it to our lives to get the sin out of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let me show you this now. Watch this. So you have to abstain. What do you mean, preacher? I've got a television. If you come to my house, it's got 1 Corinthians 10, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. I get up and turn the thing off. Oh, look at y'all's faces. I got so where I don't even like Fox News.
Yeah, me either.
They talk over each other all the time. They don't give you the news. They tell you their interpretation of it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Oh.
Yeah.
And I sure don't like CBS or ABC.
Or
what's that woman's name? Oprah Winfrey and her higher power? Higher power, ain't that awful? But now we got kids that's coming up through the ranks that believe that junk. Scientology. Look up here. I'll do it again if you want me to. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Don't you watch this. If you're going to get past your past, you have to do this. Agree that God is right about your past. You have to accept God's forgiveness, abstain from defrauding all your wrongdoing, and allow God to turn your message into a message, amen. I've made so many messages. Anybody here outside of me, your attitude of it sometimes is wrong?
Amen.
Little Biddy's talking about complaining.
Yeah.
About in the Old Testament. Look how many of them God killed for complaining.
That's what I said. Yeah.
How many of y'all remember that the tribe of Korah, the ground opened up and swallowed them up for rebellion?
Right.
Hey, thousands of people died as a result of what they done.
Right.
Read it. Yes. My point is that, listen to me, you need to understand that if you're going to get past your past, Brother Billy, I've seen this decline and sis, I don't like it. I don't like it. They do this. They just come in and say, see if you can move me. Just that there's no thrill, there's no excitement, there's no enjoyment, even things about the things of God.
Yeah, amen.
It's like a drudgery to them.
Yes.
It's not no excitement. And I'm sorry. I don't want to lose these boys. I don't want to lose them to this world.
Right.
I don't want to have to go, Jess. I don't want to have to go visit them in a juvenile lockdown.
Right.
I'm honest with you before God. Y'all have never seen a 13-year-old girl. I have. I mean, I've seen this. A 13-year-old girl that run away with a truck driver. I mean, her mom didn't work for over 2 weeks. They didn't even know where she was at. But this is what you're trying to get me to see. I'm trying to get you to see if you're going to get past your passion. I messed up a lot of times. Boy, but I'm glad. How many of y'all have ever, y'all got a blackboard over there?
No.
How many of y'all was raised at school with a blackboard? How many remember the erasers? I will not talk in class. Your teacher say, go erase that thing. Do you remember how dusty them old erasers was?
Yeah.
You clap them together and dust would boil. I'd write, I will not talk. Yeah, some of y'all probably wrote some more different things. She'd say, clean that board. You get up and take an old dusty thing and say, and then you step back, you can still see the imprints. But then you'd spit on it. And then you'd do this, Brother Billy. Guess what? You couldn't see it. You're going to get this. Isn't it a blessing to know your sin? God don't see our sin. It's underneath the blood.
That's right. Amen.
Boy, you don't know how that thrills me.
Yes.
Brother, sister, I had a lady. The only time in my life I've ever had this happen. She came to the altar and the preacher, Brother Amos, said, Brother Sisson, come and deal with this lady. She was at the altar just weeping and sobbing and crying. In fact, Brother Junior, there's tears on the carpet where she was crying. Brother Amos is a tremendous preacher, but he just couldn't do anything with her. There'd been people prayed with her and tried to help her. She said, I know I'm saved. I'll never forget this the day I die. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. This happened before I got saved. I know I'm saved. She said, but my past haunts me day and night. My past haunts me day and night till I can't sleep of a night. I have to take tranquilizers. I have to take everything just to go to sleep of a night. I tried to get her to see. I said, ma'am, do you understand that when you got saved, God forgave you of your sin? She has a problem of God. She won't forgive herself.
Right.
Now look at me. Don't you go out here and lie on me. I don't agree with this by no means. I'm against abortion with a passion. This was before she got saved. She had had two abortions.
Yeah.
Did God forgive her of her past?
Yes. Yes.
How about this one? Let me give you a classic example. How many of y'all remember Moses killing an Egyptian?
Yes.
Raise your hand. And then he buried him in the sand. Y'all remember that? Show me where God ever brought his past up.
Right.
Look at me for a moment. Watch this. Moses killed a man. All right, God, that was not what kept him out of the promised land. What kept him out of the promised land was this, that he struck the rock when he ought to speak to the rock,
right.
And God buried him in the promised land.
Right.
Or, amen, God buried him in the secret place.
Yep.
But now watch this. In Matthew 18, Moses and Elijah is on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
What do you do with that? I'm going to do a thing with it. I'm just going to accept what it says.
Right.
Who ain't messed up sometime or another?
Amen.
Well, I'm just glad his blood cleanses us.
Yes.
Let's do this tonight. Let's stay, and I hope this speaks to your heart. Boy, I hope God just, you ought to allow God to take this message. I got a man, dear Lord, I've seen God use the most wickedest, vilest people. But when he gets, how about this? When a man's in prison and he gets saved, does God forgive his past? I mean, if he's truly saved, does God forgive him?
Right.
Now, I know there's consequences to your deeds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In other words, gaining back the confidence of people.
Right.
Amen, preach this. Or here's your favorite one. Boy, you did.
Yeah.
Or you did this. Let me tell you this. This is heartbreaking. Everybody look at me just for a moment. It wasn't Fort Knox. What's that little town outside of Fort Knox? LaGrange. I was in LaGrange. And won't you look at me, everybody, look at me. I got done preaching that morning. The building was filled with people. This man came to me, a full bird colonel. oak leaves here on his thing. And he came to me and he said, I perceive that you're against interracial marriages. I said, sir, I don't know how in the world that you... I said, biblically, I said, God told Israel not to marry the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites.
Right.
I said, I was preaching on Calvary. I don't know how in the world you got that I was against interracial marriages. Right. But I said, biblically, it is wrong. Now, he's a full-bird colonel. All of a sudden, his wife walked up beside him, and big tears was running down this man's face. He said, this is my wife. He had two little kids with him. He said, her race won't accept me, and my race won't accept her. Now, what do I do, leave my family? I said, no, sir, you're not supposed to leave your family.
Right.
Y'all didn't get it, did you? They're going to pay and pay and pay and pay and pay and pay and pay.
Right.
You tried to explain it to them?
No.
They overrule, they just, their flesh just rules them.
Right.
Let's stand, he's about. Jess, if you would you come, please. One, you have to say, God, I know you and you know me. Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Don't get involved in it. Unashamedly tonight, how many of you, and say, Brother Sisson, I know I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up real high? Looky there, all over this building. Well, you ought to come tonight and just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm so glad I could raise my hand. I know I'm saved. Lord, I'm glad to know my past is underneath the blood. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him dying, paying our sin debt. Bless Brother Billy and bless his people. Then, Lord, if we're going to get past our past, we have to accept and agree that, God, you're right and we're wrong. Lord, I've made so many blunders. And I'm glad, Lord, that you incline your ear and cup your ear down. I'm glad the Holy Spirit deals with me, bothers me, convicts me, and chastens me. Bless these dear people is my prayer. Help these young people, Lord, to stay out of this world and the depths of this world and, Lord, the contents of the world. Help us tonight, Spirit of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, Jess.